You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, a Call Your Shot Friday edition. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Jurevicius. Remember, we want your score prediction, and we also want Isaiah Crowell's rushing yards for a little contest we're putting together. We're going to start doing that more often here on CBD. We got great Browns stuff. We got great Browns fans. We're going to bring those things together in the form of this contest. So let's get it started right now. You guys are piling it on the phone lines. We appreciate that. Stan in Brooklyn. Stan, welcome to the show. Call your shot, my brother.
Gentlemen, first of all, thanks a lot for taking my call.
You got it.
And I'm going to sum up the game for Sunday here.
Okay.
I don't care how they win, where they win, when they win, and who they win, okay? All I want is go Browns win, all right?
That's right. A win is
and
a win.
The other thing with Crowell, how does New Orleans, or excuse me, how does the other team rank against the run? How do they
They are
rank?
Not one of the better run defenses in the league, giving up about a buck 20 per game on the ground.
Okay. I'll call my shot at 27-20 Browns, and Crowell will 98 yards.
98 yards rushing for the Crow. I like it, Stan. Appreciate the phone call there. Let's go now to Paul in Akron. Paul, welcome to the show.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good, man.
Good. I'm just going to make this quick for you. Stan was killing me there. 24-20 Browns, 88 yards for Crowell.
24-20 and 88 for the Crow. How excited are you about getting Josh Gordon back, Paul?
Very excited. Very excited. I wish that we had Cameron, too, but I can't believe we're 6-4 right now. It's just fabulous.
It is when you really think about it, it is in some ways remarkable for an offense that we thought was going to struggle all year long. When you consider the fact that you haven't had Gordon at all, which we knew coming in the season, but you haven't had Jordan Cameron now 5 games. You haven't had Alex Mack for 5 games, 3 of your 4 Pro Bowlers on offense, arguably your 2 best skill position players. And yet, here we are at 6-4 with an opportunity to go to 7-4 against the Falcons.
What's great about it is we are not supposed to be in this conversation right now or even this season. And so this staff and this locker room full of competitors is exceeding expectation, which is why I believe we have true optimism here about where this team is going and how bright the future is for this organization to play competitive football.
Matt, going off what you said there, I think the thing we got to keep in mind too is the maturation process of this team. We've played some teams that aren't very good football teams right now, and we won those games. I mean, we've won a couple games where nobody gave us a chance, aka Pittsburgh, and we've won some games against teams that, you know, nobody, you should win the games, but that's part of being a good team. And what I'm seeing here in Cleveland right now is they're actually doing a good job of winning those games, and that's the reason you're sitting here with our record right now, because they're winning the games you're supposed to win.
Well, and speaking of one of those teams, they beat the Oakland Raiders, got their first win last night, beating the Kansas City Chiefs.
One of the hottest teams in the NFL.
They were going into that game. They had won, I think, 5 in a row. For the Kansas City Chiefs. They lose there. How about that game? And it just goes to show you, you know, you get an explosive player in the mix. Latavius Murray came in and had the 2 touchdowns, 11 yards, 90 yards, changed the game. They jumped out to the early lead. They gave up that lead to the Raiders and then battled back with Derek Carr leading his first game-winning drive of his young career. That was an impressive performance from him, and you really saw how much it mattered to these guys to get that win last night.
You know, we've talked about this before on earlier shows where any given Sunday, and, you know, in this particular case it's Thursday, but anything can happen in the course of a week, and that's why I'm impressed with the Browns, because those games, you're supposed to win them, and no matter, because the other team's geared up to beat you. So if you look in Oakland's case, they've been searching, and they just happened to take somebody out that may have gotten a little lackadaisical in their preparation.
No, you're right about that. And I think also, too, I think when the dog pound gets so crazy and at times can be so critical of the decisions made in this building, both by the management, the coaches, and a player decision they make in a game, when you look and that gave me an opportunity to see when Alex Smith and that Kansas City offense gets the ball back with 1:24, they have no timeouts. You know, so there might have been some mismanagement in that game by Andy Reid and his staff, you know, that didn't allow them to have an opportunity to stop the clock. And as you could see, you know, taking 1 sack, losing 25 seconds on that play, how detrimental it is to an offense. But then to Joe's point as well, it's like it's great to see a Raiders team, you know, that everybody thought was already, you know, erased off the board, going to be another 0-16 football team, beat the hottest team, that if you don't come ready to play in the National Football League, you're going to get beat.
That's why there are no bad wins.
No,
there's no such thing.
It doesn't matter. Listen, if you've got 5 yards rushing and 100 yards passing and you win the football game, it doesn't matter because, you know, it's funny. After 11 years of pro football, I've been to the playoffs 3 times out of 11 years. And granted, all 3 times were to the Super Bowl. There's still 8 times that it was so hard for us to win. You know, every year after a Super Bowl, the team just went down the toilet because it wasn't as easy as you thought it would be. So when you look at that, it's so hard to win in this league. 3 times in 11 years I made the playoffs. The other 8 times we didn't even sniff it. We weren't even close. So my point is, it's so difficult to win in this league. You think, oh, we got a good team, we're going to win no matter what. It doesn't always happen like that. And for Oakland, it's great to see because, you know, you got guys like Charles Woodson out there.
Oh, yeah.
That are busting their tail. Everybody's doing everything. They got to show up to work. They come in early. They try to work a little bit extra to get that first win. And now you could at least celebrate a little bit. It looked like Charles was going to cry yesterday.
It did.
Maybe he was. I mean, he was all choked up.
Well, then they almost blew it with that celebration after the sack.
Oh, like, man. Whoa. I mean, it was 25 yards. Yeah, I'm like, dude.
I was surprised that they blew the play dead because of the timeout ultimately. But if they had snapped that with them offsides, that would have been a totally free play.
Absolutely.
With two guys
and the result
not
would
in
have
the
stood.
Play.
Yes, correct.
Justin Tuck was furious.
Oh, I know. He should have got a penalty because he took his helmet off on the field.
I know. It was almost a comedy of errors there for the – it was all, in my opinion, almost a comedy of errors, but it was good. All right, let's go to Raphael in a car. What's up, Raphael?
Yeah, I'm with you.
How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you? Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I'm good.
I'm thinking Crow's going to rush for 85 yards, and the score will be 23-17 Browns.
85 yards and 23-17 Browns?
You got it.
All right, I like it. Everybody's looking for a career day from the Crow.
You know what's interesting about this is the news that they made earlier in the week with Tate, you know, being released. It's so much healthier now because there's clarification, and you got it. Don't kid yourself that for 1 second these two young guys didn't take notice of that these coaches now have a lot of faith in them to run the show here. So I think it pays a lot. It pays big dividends because these guys now know that they are the guys. There's no more veteran to worry about. It's a 1-2 punch, and that we can alone change the outcome of the game.
They're the future. They're the future at that position for the Cleveland Browns, and this is a football team that loves to run the football, so they can understand their role. They're trusted, right, and their role is going to be large, you know, both this season and next and into the future with the success of the football team on offense.
At least they can walk into a locker room now and know that they're both going to dress. You're not going to have to worry about the coach come searching
and they will both see the ball.
You're all the coaches that used to come in the locker room and you'd be like, oh, man, he's walking toward me. That means I'm not dressing this game. But it's kind of interesting because it's from the mental game for these guys alone. I think it's a boost to them.
It is a big boost.
They have the confidence of the organization to run the ball.
And Coach Penn said in practice, both of them, you could tell, got a boost of their confidence. They had a great week of practice, a lot of energy out there. Let's go to Derek in Eastlake now. Derek, welcome to CBD on a Call Your Shot Friday.
I'm going for a big game from the Crow. 138 yards.
138. I like it.
I'm going to take the Browns in a thriller on Cundiff's foot in overtime. 31-28.
31-28 Browns in an overtime thriller. And Billy Cundiff right now missed last 2 field goal attempts, has got to get it together, and hopefully this game going into a dome will help him do that.
He definitely will. I mean, and I have a belief that he will. And I want to give, you know, as the callers from time to time call in and give us, you know, hey, great show, you guys sound good. I want to give these guys some credit because their understanding of our football team and that was our first caller that took Crowell over 100.
Yep.
But what's great about it is I wouldn't be surprised, and when I have my opportunity to guess, I'm going to put Crowell under 100 yards. And the reason why is because I believe that
this your official call your shot? You're doing it right now?
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. But I'm saying T. West is going to be somewhere between 70 and 90 yards too. You know, so that's Crowell at 80-plus yards and T. West at or around 80 yards as well.
So you think we're rushing for over 150 yards?
I do. I do.
If the Browns run for over 150 yards, we're winning this game.
You win, of course. Anytime that you can tote the ball for that many yards. And, Matt, I think that's a great point because they're both going to be fresh. They're both going to get their touches. They're both going to get the feel of the game. So now when you're in that backfield, you know what your job's going to be. You have no choice but
your role has been defined.
It's been defined. So now you're going to go out there, and you're right. You know, like Nathan said, are you rushing over 150 yards? The Browns' chances go, they skyrocket through the roof to win the game.
Well, one of the questions we also want to ask today is the Browns will win if they do blank, and mine was going to be rush for more than 150
yards.
You
stole mine. I put it out there first, bro.
You did.
So you got to come up with another one.
I'm going to have to come up with something else. You're exactly right.
There's many the Browns will win the football game ifs. So that I'll take the first.
You'll take the first one. All right, good. So here's the official injury update, by the way, on the Browns. Jordan Cameron is out. Marlon Moore also out with the hamstring. Carlos Dansby is questionable. Jabal Sheard is questionable. Will be a game-time decision, and anything they get from him would be, quote, a luxury, per Mike Pettine. Johnson Badamosi, coming off of a concussion of his own, also questionable. So that's the deal with the Browns and their injury update going into this game against the Atlanta Falcons. Let's go out to Hawaii now. We've got Dennis on the phone. Dennis, welcome to the show. Aloha, brother. How you doing? Mahalo.
Hey, we're doing great. I got myself and my two kitties sitting out here in good old H1 Honolulu traffic.
Awesome.
It's a good time, but you guys are keeping us entertained. It's always good to hear you guys every morning. It's about 8 o'clock in the morning here, so we're just starting our day off.
Appreciate that. Appreciate the support all the way on Hawaii. I'll trade you weather right now, though, for sure.
Can you send us a palm tree, please?
Yeah, send us some sun. Send us some warmth.
Hey, I want to give a quick shout-out to the Honolulu Hawaii Browns backers out at King's Pub, and also want to give a shout-out all the way out in Girard, Ohio, the Leskovic Browns backers there on Kiefer Road, supporting every morning.
Awesome.
Leading that orange and brown, definitely in Hawaii and definitely in Ohio. I know it.
There's no question.
I'm going to give you my shot here. It's going to be 38-24, Cleveland on top.
All right. And what's the Crow doing? How many yards for the Crow?
I'm going to pass it over to my daughter here, my 9-year-old Isabella. Go ahead, Ella. Tell us the
145 yards.
145 Whoa! Yards, Isabella. I like your style.
She's just going after it right there.
She is. Dennis, we appreciate it. Appreciate the family joining us here all the way from Hawaii. I love that. I love the reach of the Browns fans, the Browns backers. Last night I was out at doing a remote here at Tony K's in Berea, and there was a guy who came up to me, you know, talking about his Browns backers bar in Fort Lauderdale and how they go there every Sunday and describing the place and the TVs, and he was fired up. And a lot of people talk about the Browns backers, and obviously it's the largest fan club, organized fan club in all of sports, and they do have a brand new website for you, fans.clevelandbrowns.com, exclusive access, giveaways, and more. So if you want to be a part of the Browns backers, definitely get to that website, check it out. But they are literally everywhere.
You know what's interesting about this is when I was in Seattle and I wanted to come home to Cleveland, I was telling my wife, like, listen, the 12th man's the real deal. That's a loud stadium to play in front of them. But I said, Megan, when you get an opportunity to go back to Cleveland and see what goes on there, the fans are second to none. I remember after I signed my contract in Cleveland, at my house in Tampa, somehow a group of people got through the guarded gate and started barking in front of my house. So it was just like it's a completely different atmosphere. And when you're right, Nathan, when you hear somebody call from Hawaii and they're with the kids and the kids are starting to bleed the orange and brown, that's phenomenal. That just shows you how powerful this team is and how powerful the city is.
There's a guy that was at last night that was at the remote, and his name is Sean Bammer, and he has brought his kids out. He has brought them his infant to all of these different remotes. And as everybody signed it, I even got to sign the kid's onesie. And he's like, he's been bleeding orange and brown since he was born. They had homemade custom crow helmets where they took a helmet. They literally drilled a hole in the top of it, stuck a crow on the top of the helmet, which was awesome for the crow. So we got to make sure we get that to him. But you know, there's passion for this team, and to see it, you know, we got a guy at 8 in the morning out there right now in Hawaii driving, listening to Cleveland Browns Day. That's awesome, and it goes to show how important this brand of football is to this team, the city, and anybody associated with it. And that's why it's so important to see this team going in the right direction and enjoy what's happening with them at 6-4.
It does, and for me personally, not ever having played for the Cleveland Browns, this is the closest feel to the Buckeye Nation that's out there.
You're right.
You know, Ohio State runs Ohio as a state because everybody's a Buckeye if you live in, at, or around, you know, Ohio. But that being said, is the culture that's been created and the support that they have, the undying support that they have for their love, which is the Cleveland Browns, to me, in my eyes, is the closest thing that I see when I think Ohio State football.
One of my greatest memories was literally running out the tunnel, and I remember coming out the tunnel for the pregame, and then running down toward the dog pound, and it was like getting smacked upside the head with a dose of reality, a beautiful reality too. I mean, it was phenomenal. So it makes you smile, and anytime that you've got people weathering storms like we've had here in the past week, and you got people waking up to palm trees and coconuts and the ocean, I mean, it's a pretty powerful place.
Yes,
man.
It is.
It's not bad.
Place.
Not bad at all. All right, let's go to Sean in Green. Sean, welcome to CBD with Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and Joe Juravicius.
Hey, first off, all three of you, amazing job. I listen to you guys every day at work. So
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
My day great. And then, Joe, I just want to say I really appreciate you staying loyal to the city of Cleveland and being engaged. I think it shows a lot about your character and who you are as an individual, so I appreciate that as well.
I appreciate and, that. Matt's Nate, crying over here, by the way. Keep going. Spill it.
And Nate, I really want to do a shout-out to you, man, because I was at the Browns-Steelers game, and I tweeted out to you on the Jumbotron of a picture of you. I don't remember if you remember that or not, but...
I do. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you hitting back on that, too.
Yeah, so, of course, man.
Great job on everything. I appreciate everything you guys do.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, 24-17 Browns, and then the Crow, 72 yards and one touchdown.
72 and a huzz for the Crow. I like and what was the right score, 2017?
24-17. You guys take care. God bless.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate that, Sean. Nice guy, Sean.
I get
He's
no love.
Really nice.
Fine, man.
Dang, what did I do?
He's not Listen, a Buckeye fan.
You have your dad who calls in every show to give you a lot of love, man.
The money's on its way.
Still to this day.
All right, let's go to Jim in Akron now before we hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, after this break. What's up, Jim?
How you doing, fellas? I had a quick question before I did my prediction.
Yep.
Winston, with his size, can they use him maybe as a tight end or an H-back?
No, he's definitely a running back. Not tall, just he is jacked. There's no question about that. He's in great shape, but he's not tall enough. But I think he's going to be a pretty good back if given an opportunity. He's had an unbelievable life, overcome a lot of adversity, some self-inflicted, but he has been he's a great story, a great young man who's kind of finally redeemed himself from a tough place in his life and is looking forward to this opportunity.
Okay, representing the Kent Browns backers, I think the Crow is going to get 115 yards and two hudges.
Double hudge.
And the score is 35-17.
35-17. Appreciate that, Jim. I like that. Two touchdowns as well for the Crow. I'd love to see that.
That's a big one right there.
That'd be good. Get them in the slam sedan. Let's go. A butt kick. Right now, optimistic Browns fans are not at all deterred by what happened against the Houston Texans.
Not at all.
But I think styles make the fights, and I think this one matches up so much better for the Browns.
It definitely does. And I think, again, because even just doing the little bit of prep going into Atlanta, you look at this defense, and there's nothing that scares me about this defense. There's not that one player, that game wrecker, whether it be up front or in the defensive backfield, that we have to avoid. So what does that mean? That means we're going to willingly be able to run the football with both of our backs. We're going to spread it around. Brian Hoyle, I feel our offensive line should dominate because they're a team that only has 9 sacks for the season. So our offensive line should keep Brian Hoyer fairly clean, and now we've got our biggest weapon back and guys that are in their comfort zone or in the zone getting open for Brian Hoyer, that we should flourish both on the ground and in the air.
You know, you're looking we're talking about the Browns fans here. I mean, they're like the players. You got to have a short memory. You've got to take those losses, learn what you can on that Monday when you break that game film down and you move on to Atlanta. So I agree. I think they should be optimistic. This game scares me a little bit more than some of the scores I'm hearing just because there's a lot of offensive weapons right now for the Atlanta Falcons. So as easy as it could be for us to move the football, Atlanta's got a lot of weapons that we've got to be careful of. We can't get ahead of ourselves. We've shown that before. So if we can we need to put points on the game because Atlanta can do the same thing to us, too.
No question. High-powered offense, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, the Hot Rod, Rowdy Roddy White, Harry Douglas, Devin Hester, Steven Jackson, a lot of offensive firepower out there for this Atlanta Falcons team that the Browns are going to have to try to slow down and then ultimately outscore to get this W. When we come back, we'll hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, some sound from his show last night, the Mike Pettine Show on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. That will come up after this. More calls, more tweets. You guys are rocking and rolling. Keep them coming. 216-578-0850 at 2 o'clock. The Friday Forecast with the Kid. Plus, we got D. Orlando Ledbetter, who covers the Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, coming up at 2:30. So keep it tuned here to CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.